First scripture in Psalm 8, Psalm of the sons of Korah. Jehovah our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy majesty above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast established praise because of thine adversaries, and to still the enemy and the avenger. When I see the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man, what is man, thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and splendor. Thou hast made him to rule over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put everything under his feet. Now in John's Gospel, chapter 17, and verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have completed the work which thou gavest me that I should do it. And now glorify me, thou, Father, along with thyself, for the glory which I had along with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. They were thine, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6. And verse 3, look out therefore, brethren, from among yourselves seven men, well reported of, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall establish over this business. But we will give ourselves up to prayer and the ministry of the word. And finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Well, it is not of profit for me to boast, for I will come to visions and revelations in the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body, I know not, or out of the body, I know not, God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, God knows. But he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable things which is not allowed to man to utter. Of such a one will I boast, but of myself I will not boast unless in my weaknesses. I want us helped of the Lord to say a word on manhood. And I think in Psalm 8 we have manhood in perfection in Jesus. Manhood is not seen anywhere else in perfection. A man in Christ, of which we've read finally, would be the nearest thing to come to it. But Paul tells us, I'm not yet perfected. But when we come to Christ, there was no growing up to perfection. He was perfect when he came into the world. So this is Psalm of David. Jesus, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy majesty above the heavens. Then we have this verse that the Lord quotes as he was entering Jerusalem. And the Pharisees told the Lord to stop the young ones from singing. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. To still, because of thine adversaries, to still the enemy and the avenger. Divine love in the same is the answer to all the opposition. And divine love is given the way that God has given in Christ and in the Spirit, gives a proof of the depths of the love of God. When I see the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast established, what is man? What is man? This is weak mortal man. What is man? And we think, and we should think, and pray about the difficulties that are facing the world at the present time, and especially America, and Britain involved in it too. And what is man? Man apart from the man Christ Jesus has no real ability to solve the problems of the universe. That mindful of him, what a word that is to us. If God had taken away his breath, the atmosphere, which he brought in creation, if he withdrew it, the whole world would perish. After the flood, he sets his bow in the sky. And though there was tremendous flooding in the south of England, the bow is still in the sky. I will not destroy the earth by water again. Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. What a thing it was for this poor universe. The greatest occasion, I believe, apart from Calvary itself, when the Lord Jesus came in the mud. Glad tidings of great joy. God himself, as it were, come down, as J.N.D. says, a heavenly stranger. Love to sinners to display. And we're among them. Do I thank God enough for mercy? If we read of Paul's conversion, the light gets brighter every time he speaks about it. And he never forgot the mercy of God. And don't let us forget it either. Because I believe, as we understand the marvel of divine mercy and grace that's come in from God itself, himself, when none of it was deserved, there'll be a feature established in us, not only to be small, but to grow up into manhood. And men are needed amongst us. Paul says, I've only been able to speak to you as babes in Christ. Then he says, I know a man in Christ. Anyone be in Christ, there is a new creation. Babes in Christ is the same status as a man in Christ. But the formation is a different matter. It's a different matter. And beloved brethren, we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What will we take into glory? What do you think we'll take into glory? We'll take in the knowledge of divine persons. That's what we'll take into glory. And as saying that, I say, would to God I knew them better. And it's not the fault of divine persons. I do not know them better. Because God has been fully revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father has been revealed. And the Spirit is here to help us. Help us. If we but make waver of into the knowledge of these things. In order that we might grow up to him in all things. In horticulture, the fruit is the finish. That's the way you view it. But in Colossians, bearing fruit and growing. You bear fruit and you grow up to him in all things. So God's horticulture is far better than man's. And I'm in the horticultural business, and I can tell you that. Bearing fruit and growing. Thou hast made him a little lower than angels. Can you understand that? The first time angels saw the Lord Jesus would have been when he came into manhood. A multitude of the heavenly hosts glorifying God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good pleasure in men. Unjealous beings, seeing that by Christ coming into manhood, they had been passed by. And Hebrews reminds us, because it's quoted again in Hebrews, made him a little lower than angels on account of the sin of death. Thou hast crowned him with glory and splendor. Thou hast made him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put everything under his feet. Has that happened yet? It hasn't happened. Millennial glory is yet to shine. But thou hast caused him to rule over. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we come under the Lordship of Christ. And we come under his direction. And his direction is the direction of love for the Savior. So if we want to see manhood in perfection in any place else, they'll never see it. If we read this psalm, I think we see without a doubt perfection in Jesus. And I would like to look at it more and to study it more in order that when we think of the divine mind and the divine dealing and divine purpose and divine counsel that chose us, not the Jews, that chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen in a past eternity, and the whole work of salvation at infinite sufferings to our Lord Jesus Christ worked out in time. When you think of the Israel's blessing, they're blessed from the foundation of the world. But when we think of the blessing of the Gentiles and the assembly coming into blessing, it's before the foundation of the world. Can you compass it? None of us can compass it. But we can delight in the glory of the love of God that took that way and reached us in time through the giving and the shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Made some little lower than the angels on account of the sufferings of death. Angels are not subject to death. Neither are they subject to redemption. But he was made some little lower. I can only worship in the light of it. I don't fully understand it. But I can worship in the light of it. And may we arrive at something like that in regard to the glory of Christ. John 17 brings it out as well. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have completed the work which thou gavest me that I should do it. And thou glorify me, thou Father, along with thyself, with the glory I had with thee before the world was. There's many glories in John 17. And I'm not going into them. Because that's not my subject. And even if it was, I couldn't go into them anyway. But this one speaks of the glory of deity. The glory which I had with thee before the world's foundation. But then he goes on... Before the world was, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me. What a lovely verse that is in this marvelous prayer of John 17. The Lord's prayer that he gave to them is more in regard to what is providential here. But this is really the depths of the Lord's prayer that we should really look into and understand more. The greatness of the Lord speaking to his Father. He speaks about the what being finished. And he's really speaking before it was finished. Because he does that in John's Gospel. He speaks as things were accomplished. And in his mind they were accomplished. I have finished the work that thou gavest me that I should do it. But the work that was finished at Calvary's cross. Finished. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, as George said, all the work has been done. All has been done. Man strives by his own efforts to enter into the favor of God. But if we understood it, and men understood it, they would understand that man as he was completely ended in the death of Christ. But man has come to light again. The men that thou gavest me, I have manifested thy name to the men that thou gavest me out of the world, out of the world, manifested thy name. You might have said they didn't know too much. And if you say that, I would say to you and to myself, what do I know? What do I know? Paul tells us we know nothing yet as we ought to know it. And I can assure you this, that the knowledge we gain now is the time of learning, and it won't be gained in glory. What will be gained in glory will be a clearer picture, not looking through a dim window obscurely, but seeing face to face. So let us go in. Let us go in into manhood in regard of things that are really life. Really life. Heavy R said, we don't cater for our own happiness. And how true that is. Why don't we go in for these things more and more? Because it may involve suffering and pressure. I believe that's one of the ways that hinders us from going in for a greater knowledge of divine persons. The men that thou gavest me. I love that, you know. What is to be secured in glory is men and sonship. And they are being secured now. Men and sonship. So we come to the supper and the service of God. And what outflow have we? To the one I have manifested thee, to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. We've been taken out of the world, thank God. The very feature of baptism brings that out. And you say to yourself, sometimes, am I true to my baptism? I've manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest out of me out of the world. They were thine, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Oh, beloved brethren, how really uplifting that is with those whom the Lord chose. They had much to learn. Peter denied the Lord. But things became opened up to them, to these men, when the Spirit of God came. Things were opened up and been opened up to us. And there is no hindrance from the divine side of any one of us arriving at a state of manhood. Because in glory, the sisters should be in this as well, because we are all to be sons in glory. Let us remember these things. No wonder Paul says, we know nothing yet as we ought to know it. And I'm taking that to myself. But the men whom thou gavest me out of the world, I have manifested thy name. Think of the name. Think of the name of the Father. What does the name of the Father mean? It's the name of grace. It's the name of grace. Oh, beloved brethren, let us understand the glory of the Father. To us, there is one God, the Father. I know there's the Trinity and the greatness of three divine persons. And we should know that as well. But Paul puts it that way. Well, what? To us, there is one God, the Father. And we by him. I don't want to misquote. But I just want to bring out that in the teaching of Christ, and there was no greater teaching, the Spirit of God didn't bring in any greater teaching than Christ, because when he came, he took of the things of Christ and showed them to us. He maybe opened them up more, because the Spirit of God is in that way to guide us into all the truth. And let him do it, beloved brother, in order that babe character might not continue with us, but let us become men in the greatness of the knowledge of God. Well, there's two buts in chapter 5 and chapter 6. First four chapters of Acts were the full power of the Spirit of God. Chapter 5 breaks down. Up to the end of chapter 4, all things were common. And I remember Trevor years ago saying, communism never even was carried on among the saints, so it'll never fare well among men. All things common, and failure came in chapter 5. I don't go into that. But in chapter 6, but, another but, and the nations, the widows were getting overlooked in the daily administration. Well, Peter said, it is not good for us to leave what they were doing and serve tables. I don't say anything about that. But when we come to Paul, he was able to minister and serve tables as well. Because when it came to the shipwreck, he gathered sticks to keep the saints warm. So can we do that? Can we keep the saints warm? How do we keep the saints warm? By bringing out the love of Jesus. That's why we do it. Choose out 7 men full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you say, I do a little job among the saints and serve them. Well, these men were chosen as full of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to Ephesians, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. So there must have been a lapse. And oh, beloved brethren, what a lapse has been as we face reality in this marvelous dispensation. And we're in it. But has the Lord Jesus changed? He's never changed. And he never will change. I, the Lord, change not in regard of Jacob. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Beloved brethren, if I take my own pathway, rather speaking about the 20s, your 30s, 40s, and then you get older. Brother said to a local brother with us many years ago, what are you doing with your borrowed time? What's your borrowed time anyway? Your borrowed time will be when you've reached 70. If by reason of strength. Doing anything with it? Choose out 7 men. 7 men is the number, the number of perfection. 12 is love's number. 7 men, full of the Holy Spirit, to look after this world. Well, they did it, and they did it well. And Stephen graduated very quickly into another service. And if you read his indictment, his face was shining as the face of an angel. That is the man that was able to take on the service of tables and advance into manhood, into service. Philip as well. Philip. Another one. Well, beloved brethren, let us understand that if we're going to do anything for the Lord and for his people, we must do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I finish with a man in Christ. I know a man in Christ. In chapter 11, Paul was forced to bring out the whole chapter of his sufferings. The unbelief of the Corinthians, although he was gaining them in the second epistle, it brought it all out. He tells us in Acts of one shipwreck. And in this chapter, he tells us about 3 times, I think. 3 times have I been shipwrecked. A night and a day have I spent in the deep. Was he forlorn? Did he get down even like John the Baptist? And I'm not saying anything about John the Baptist. I had every sympathy with that man. When I'm weak, he says, then I'm strong. I know a man of Christ. Whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. Caught up to the third heaven. That's elevation. That's elevation. Then he says it again. Caught up to paradise. That's the place of delight. Well, the thief on the cross, it's been said the thief on the cross went to paradise after death. But Paul came back from paradise. He came back. He went possibly before death. And I say that carefully because it could have been the time he was stoned and given up for dead. Could have been. I don't know. We're not told that. But it has been suggested. But it says the saints encircled him. Love circled. And he rose up and went into the city. But here he's kept this for 14 years. 14 years. Paul dwelling on something he had seen and what he'd experienced. And he says, it's what not able for man to utter. Why was it not able? Because manhood in the believer at that time was not able to take it out. Beloved brethren, what do I know about manhood? Paul's ministry would be the greatest opening up of the divine thought and the truth that's ever been. Highest thought that ever God had in mind was brought out by the apostle in Ephesians. And we have to go through Corinthians to meet the fleshly man. We have to go through Galatians to meet the legal man. And I say this, if you are legal, you have to meet a demand for righteousness. And we couldn't meet it. God has met it in Christ. And he's put it on us, through the way he has gone. That's Corinthians and Galatians. When you come to Colossians, philosophy and vain deceit, the mind of man and the things of God is absolute disaster. If you've been raised with the Christ, seek the things which are above. If you have died with the Christ from the things of the world, why? As in the world. It's all there, you know. And it's all in the way of establishing a sense to in our souls information of manhood according to God. That's all I have to say, beloved brethren. And whether in the body, I know not. Caught up to paradise and heard unspeakable things, which is not allowed to man to utter. Of such a one will I boast, but of myself I will not boast, save in my weakness. Oh, beloved brethren, how far short we come. If we face it, how far short we come. But, as our brother said, this is the time to redeem the time. Redeem it, because the days are evil. If we are looking, and we should be looking, for the coming of the Lord, let it not be with only signs in the world. Let it be with the affection of the saints being stirred up in regard to the Spirit and the bride say, come, may it be so for his name's sake.